I don't know about you, but this sermon is going to be really short because I'm hungry. So, and we've had so many fun things already. It's like, my goodness. Besides that, is it getting warm in here?
Yeah.
You know you live in Wisconsin when it's under 60 degrees and you're saying, dear God, turn on the air conditioner or something. It's like, please. It's, you know, we've acclimated to colder climates. My family in Texas and in California would have winter coats on. They would. They really would. So, in fact, their low is often in the 60s, and that's our high, and they're freezing to death. And I'm thinking, man, you guys, you got to get some thicker skin. So, oh, praise the Lord. Well, I can tell you, the Lord, about 2 days ago, sidetracked my message for today completely. He really began to speak to me out of Psalms, and there's something very precious that I feel the Lord wants to do maybe in your heart today. And it's completely disconnected in one sense from a one-year anniversary kind of theme. And when it first started to become something that the Lord was speaking to me, I really argued with him because I wanted him to understand it was not the best thing to do. And we sat in my office, and I couldn't see him in the chair, so it's hard to talk to him sometimes when he's just not there, you know? And I'm like telling him, I have a good plan, and he's saying, I know, and it's so funny. And then finally, I just said, all right, Lord, if this is what you want to say, then what do you want to say? Start speaking it to me. And over the course of those couple days, it's become very apparent that the main message the Lord wants to say to us in this room for this moment, and believe me, you're here, it's a divine appointment. God wants to renew you. He wants to renew you. I believe this is so important. He told me not to preach what I had intended to preach and preach this message, renew you. The image that comes to me as I ask for clarification is we have been doing work currently in a new house that we just purchased by just the grace and mercy of God. We got a new house. We're moving into it. We've been painting and doing work and opening up boxes and doing all this blah, 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 blah. And in the course of this, as a man, you use a thing called power tools. And I love them. I look for reasons to use them. One of my favorite and most versatile power tools is my 18-volt cordless power drill. I just take it everywhere, and I just use it all the time, and it's just awesome. I love it. In fact, things you should not use a power drill for, I still use the power drill. Like yesterday, I put together this cheap aluminum kind of towel thing, and I use a power drill for it. That's when I realized 18 volts on... like not even real aluminum. It just kind of twisted it and bent it a little more than I think the manufacturer decided, but it ain't going anywhere. You know, it's like, and I love it. And with this battery, I just know there's something funny about it. It makes a noise whenever it's no longer got a full charge. I'm in there and it goes, and it sounds like that. And if you just kind of do the trigger again, it goes, you stop it, and then it goes. And then, if you're like me, you're too lazy to just go to the garage and pick up the second battery that's been charging, I go, and I just, you know, and I just kind of, I do whatever thing I can do because I'm like, I'm not going to take the 5 minutes and go get the new one. It's like that. And then if you're real hick, you do this. Boom, 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 boom. Because those batteries are made tough, you know? So. It all would be simpler if I just got a fully charged battery. And then that little screw just goes in quicker because it's totally charged. And there's many things in my life and in your life that zaps the battery. and gets us to a place where we just can't do it. Even what we're designed for, what we know we're created for, it, no matter which way you look at it, it feels like... And often at those times, the last thing we do is go to God and get our batteries recharged. We try everything humanly possible to get it done. But it doesn't answer the real issue. You need a battery recharge. You need to be renewed. You need to be filled back up again because you have poured it all out. You've spent it all. And there's something that's sweet and nice about spending it all because you accomplish a lot. And in this year, think about it as a church, we have accomplished a lot together. But if our batteries are low, you've got to be refilled. And not just that, but as an individual, periodically in life, you spend it all and you need to be refilled. And if you think back to that first time where you really turned your life over to Christ, it often is synonymous with this realization: I can't do it anymore. I can't go on anymore. I feel empty and I don't have anything left. You have to find your source of energy. And for me, that's what happened. I needed something. And this life had nothing that would refill and recharge what I was lacking. Jesus became my supply. A relationship with Jesus became my supply. And so I want to highlight just a couple things that the Lord's been laying on my heart about the things that drain us and empty us. And it starts with this. Turn to Psalms. Psalms 51:7. This is the very first phrase that the Lord dropped in my heart. I'm sitting there thinking about the message we're going to deliver. I'm like, wow, this is going to be great. 1 year, wah, wah. And then God drops this verse in my heart. Psalms 51, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. I'm going, you're not getting the message, Lord. And he says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which have been broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach even transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So when I finally surrendered and said, all right, Lord, what is it that you want to say? He said, I want you to think about what it means to be renewed. And in this particular verse, here's exactly what that word means. It means to be rebuilt. Rebuilt. I thought renew meant just recharged. And God said, no, I want to rebuild. I don't know about you, but that's a lot more entailed than just recharging. God says, I want to not just give you a new battery. I want to remake the whole enchilada. Then I asked the Lord, what does it mean to have a right spirit? Because he said, it's going to be a right spirit. And I said, well, what does that mean? We translate the word right, but here's what the Hebrew understood. The Hebrew man understood these phrases as meaning, God, stand me upright again. Make me to stand in a correct manner again. So when the Lord says, I want to rebuild, he says, I'm going to rebuild you so that you can stand upright. And I'm thinking, all right, this is good. This is good, Lord. I want to establish you and I want to make you proper.
So that's what the Lord is starting to do. And then when I asked God, I said, well, what in the world do you mean when you say to renew a right spirit in me? Here's what that word spirit means. It's that Hebrew word ruach. And this means it's not just living, but it really is spiritual living. It's spiritual living. It means that heart disposition, everything that the seat of your emotions, everything about you that is tied to what we normally would say heart. That's what God wants to make right so it can stand. That's what God wants to rebuild. And I'll tell you, when you put those three things together, God, renew a right spirit in me. Renew, rebuild, make it all over again. A right, something that can stand and be strong and established. Spirit, my heart, my disposition, everything about me. I'll tell you, this is what it means. God is wanting to renew us today, and this is exciting because if you feel discouraged, that's not right. With God, you can do all things. If you feel like you've been knocked down by something, you're so empty and dry and you're just laying on the ground, you have nothing left to give, God's going to stand you right back up. If your heart has nothing left in reserve, your heart has to be made right. That means God's going to put something back in it that it needs, joy. Renew that joy of salvation. I don't know about you, but when was the last time you had a joy so overwhelming it didn't depend on your circumstance? You could have zero in the bank, but you could still have joy. Where does that joy come from? It comes from God. When do you have a joy and it doesn't depend on the physical health? I get up in the morning now and it's different than when I got up in the morning in my 30s. Morning time in your 40s is definitely different. People have told me morning time in your 50s and 60s is even more different. Amen. So I refuse to go to the 50s or 60s. This is miserable enough. In fact, the new house, it took me 2 weeks just to discern the difference between the squeaking of the floor and just my own ankles in the morning. So for 2 weeks, I was going, I'm going to have to figure out how to fix these floors. And then I realized the floors go everywhere with me until about 9 o'clock. And then I'm like, oh, that's that joint. I don't know about you, but there's a joy that doesn't depend on my physical health and well-being. I do believe, and I'm convinced, I could be in my sickbed and there can be a smile on this face saying, you know what? I'm so flooded with joy right now, I don't even know what to do with myself. And even if natural death comes to me, I know when I close these eyes, I'm going to open them and I'm going to be in paradise instantly. And I don't know about you, but that gives me joy even in sickness. It's just so fun to think of the joy that God brings to my life just because of salvation. So I just have to give us a little bit of context. The author of this particular psalm, David, King David, do you realize why he's written this? Why he was so empty and so distraught? And the imagery he used, hyssop. Anybody know what hyssop is? Hyssop's a plant. It's a little shrubbery. Pause to just walk down memory lane. Shrubbery. Bring me a shrubbery. So David says, I have a shrubbery and use it, Lord, to clean me. Why did he need this and what was the whole significance? Here's the reason. He just got found out. The prophet Nathan just confronted his ugliness. See, David lost his course. He lost his course. He was not acting like King David. He was not acting like a man after God's own heart. Instead, he was acting like a man who didn't know what he was supposed to do. And he saw Bathsheba bathing, and he took Bathsheba. He had an affair with Bathsheba, and then he killed Bathsheba's husband. And then he hid the fact that he killed Bathsheba's husband. And that was because he and Bathsheba were pregnant. And then Bathsheba's child, the one that they had because of this infidelity and adultery, that child was killed by virtue of just the judgment of God on both of them, on their lives. That baby died, and the despair and the misery was hard to hide. And then the prophet Nathan came, and basically through wonderful confrontation, as gentle as God could do it, said, "You just did all this." Read his mail and said, "That's all that you did." And in response to the misery, the loss of the baby, the guilt over the sin and the shame over the sin, the reality of everything that he had become the opposite of what he was. He was a man after God's own heart. He was still that shepherd boy that learned to worship and love Jesus in that dark place of a separated from the family and just alone with the sheep. He learned to do that, but he was not acting like that. He was definitely not acting like a king. He lost his way. It was very, very dark. And he was on his just bed of misery. And he wrote this and called out to the Lord, "Renew, renew." Why was he so empty? For him, the weight of his iniquity and his sin emptied every ounce of strength out of him. And I don't know about you, but whenever I have lived in sinful iniquity, it empties me and it zaps my strength. You can't do it. If you're born again, you can't do it. You can't live that duplicitous life. You can't say you love God and love sin at the same time and expect to feel the strength and the renewal of God. You will feel zapped and empty. And so, as all of us must do from time to time, you must turn again away from that junk that sucks the life of God out of you and turn with your whole heart to the Lord. And do exactly what David did. God, have mercy on me and renew me, rebuild me. Make me strong so I can stand again. It's kind of like that stupid song that I get knocked down, but I get up again. I know it has nothing to do with spiritual things. It's actually just drinking. But I get knocked down and I get up again. Spiritually, the phraseology applies. As Christians and believers, if you get knocked down for whatever reason, especially sin and iniquity, you get up again. And you can't do it in your own strength. You got to do it in God's strength. And that only comes from humbling yourself before the Lord and saying, "I've made a mess. I'm a mess. Everything about it is a mess. God, I refuse to live like that anymore." And you turn yourself to Jesus. That's repentance. And God then begins to rebuild you. And you know what? David was rebuilt. He was rebuilt. They had Solomon, who became the next king. Solomon, the wisest king of all kings, who it was really the last king in the unified kingdom of Israel. I'm talking, these are significant things. God repurposed David, repurposed Bathsheba, repurposed the family that was so fractured, repurposed the very kingdom of Israel. Why? Because this was a person who knew how to say, "God, renew me, rebuild me, and put me right again so I could be strong." If you're a Christian, you have to know the secret of being renewed. You got to be able to bend your knees and ask the Lord to renew you. Now, there's so much more about this. And if I were to take just a side note, just to illustrate, why did David use the terminology hyssop? Why hyssop? Why a shrubbery? Bring me a shrubbery. I mean, this is what God was really saying to us through this verse right now. Hyssop was the bush, little yellow flowers, this little shrubbery bush thing that they used, that hyssop, in the time of the Exodus to take that branch, dip it in the sacrificed blood of the lamb, and then apply it to the doorposts of their house. And that's where that feast of the Passover comes from. And that's where the Passover meal that we take once a month as a church, where we take bread and communion wine and we remember the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus, that took away the sins of the world. In Jewish history, that Exodus started with a meal. They said, "Kill a lamb, take the blood of the lamb, and with a branch of hyssop, I want you to dip it in the blood and then apply blood to the doorposts of your house so that on that one night in Egypt, the last plague,
in Egypt, in their bondage of sin, the angel of the Lord would come and kill every firstborn of a family that did not have the blood of the Lamb applied to the doorpost. And everyone in the Israel camp applied the blood to the doorpost, and their firstborns were saved, and it caused them to leave sin, leave Egypt, and get into their promised land. And so that's what that hyssop was actually the first symbol of. It was a symbol of redemption, freedom from sin and all that junk, and freedom to go into the promised land. But then it doesn't stop there. If you look into Leviticus 14, I believe it is, in Leviticus 14, here's another thing that happens. Hyssop was prescribed by the priests to do a ceremonial cleansing of homes. Think about this. Homes. During the time of the Levites, these priests had some pretty significant roles. They wanted families to be clean and renewed too. And so they had very specific rituals that they had to do in order to bring about that cleansing or make a symbol of that cleansing. And hyssop was used. They would take hyssop, a little branch of it. And if a family had something like leprosy or a disease in their home and they couldn't cure it, everybody was getting sick, they would actually, the priest would say, vacate the house. He would show up and he would have the hyssop branch and he would take a dove and he would take the dove and he would have two doves. The first dove he'd kill, fill a bowl with the blood of the dove. And then the second dove, he would take that dove and he would dip it in this mixture of blood, hyssop, and cedar. And then he would take that mixture and he would use it to cleanse and sprinkle the entire house. What? Aren't you glad we don't do this today? Can you imagine me showing up your house and then break out the doves and then be like, don't worry. I know this is like some freaky geeky stuff here, but we're going to do some deliverance. I'm talking some freaky stuff. You would be like, no, please, send me a different preacher, one that doesn't kill small animals. Please, you know, so I mean, this is a whole different dispensation. But back then, this is why it was important. They had to see the cost to get free from junk that was poisoning their lives and causing their demise. And so he would use these things, and it was very powerful. It showed these families that even their homes had to be cleansed. They had to be rebuilt. They had to be rebuilt so they could stand. And they had to be rebuilt so that they could stand, so that they could have that Spirit of God, that fullness of God's joy in their life. That's when David said, cleanse me with hyssop, he was saying, cleanse me like I'm being set free from Egypt. Cleanse me like you're purging my home from a disease. He's saying, Lord, cleanse me like you're remaking every part of me. I need to be refilled all over again. And here's the fun thing. It's not a ceremony that does it. It's not all of these weird things I've been talking about. It really boils down to you and I right now in this moment. The renewal happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit was represented by a dove in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And when the Holy Spirit comes and cleanses you, he cleanses your home and he cleanses your past because you have a future. There is something God is doing to rebuild people right now in this moment. So you never have to go back to Egypt. You have everything to go forward to. You and I can be remade and renewed right now. I like this. This gives me great excitement. In the New Testament, this is what it sounds like. You got 2 minutes with me, and I'm going to wrap it all up, and then we're going to eat some food. You cool with that? Good. You really didn't have an option. So I was just going to do it anyway. This renewal, we hear it in the New Testament in verses like this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's one of my favorite go-to verses. We're not to be conformed anymore to the pattern of this world, but renewed. Renewed in our minds. We have to be renewed in the way we think and the way we live. We can't live in the old. So Lord, let the hyssop cleanse this. Let everything wash and purge and rebuild everything that I think. I've got to think differently. It says, by the renewing of your mind so that you can know God's perfect will for your life. I'll tell you something. If you want to know God's will for your life, have a renewed mind. Have a renewed mind and you'll know the way you should go.
Isn't that exciting? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this. Hey, if we're losing heart, this is what we need to read. Don't lose heart. Though we outwardly waste away. This is in verse 16 of the second chapter of Corinthians, or second book to the Corinthians church. Fourth chapter, verse 16. It says, don't lose heart. Though outwardly you might be wasting away, inwardly you are being renewed every day. Day by day. Day by day. Renewed every day. Every single day, God's Holy Spirit can rebuild you. Retooled, remade for that day. You don't have to rely on the way you were made a year ago. You can be rebuilt for the day right now. And you don't have to go on last year's food supply. He's got fresh food for this day. I love this. And you don't have to rely on the Holy Spirit leading from the way He did last year. He can lead you fresh right now. That's renewal. Oh, I love that. So how does this happen? Verse 18 in chapter 4, it says, so we fix our eyes on God. That's what we do. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He's perfecting us through this whole process. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. The last few verses that I was meditating on, Ephesians 2:10 and Colossians 3:10. They go back to back. They're hand in hand. Here's what they say. Ephesians 2:10 says, God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that He's prepared for us in advance to do. This is talking about meaning and purpose. Meaning and purpose. And then in Colossians 3:10 it says, and you've become a new person, and this new person, here it is continually renewed in the knowledge to be like its creator. So how is God renewing you and I? He's renewing us today, not to look like yesterday, but to look like Jesus today. That means He refreshes the image. He refreshes what you're supposed to talk like, what you're supposed to act like, where you're supposed to go, the friends you're supposed to have. He refreshes that image daily. So we get up in the morning and say, Lord, what am I supposed to look like today? And He gives you a new, fresh image of, you're going to look like this. This is Jesus today. This is what it looks like to be Jesus right now. All right, God, that's it. That's me today. Today, I'm going to serve you in this way. Today, I'm going to live like this. And it really is a living faith. You get your orders fresh every day. That's exciting. Now, the last verse that I say in wrapping this up, it comes from Titus chapter 3. And this is the way I'm going to close it out. And maybe as we close this, I'm just going to ask Jeff and Justin to come up. And I want us to just, in a mode of just some worshipful prayer, I want us to pray together today, because I believe that this is not something that I'm convincing you of. This is something I believe, if the Lord put this on my heart, that I believe this is a spiritual moment where spiritual things happen, that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can revive you. Pasta can make you feel less hungry, but only Jesus can fill your soul. You know, the Holy Spirit is, there is no substitute for God's Spirit working in your lives and transforming you. There is no substitute. We have to have it. So here it is in Titus chapter 3, verse 4, we read this. It says, however, when God, our Savior, made His kindness and love for humanity appear, He saved us. But not because of anything that we had done to gain this approval. Instead, because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing in which the Holy Spirit gives us new birth and renewal. I have to read that portion of that scripture one more time. Instead, because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing in which the Holy Spirit gives us new birth and renewal. Oh, praise you, Jesus. I cannot save a single person. God does. I can't change a person's life. God does. I can't make dead people alive spiritually. Only Jesus' Spirit can do that. How does it happen? I wish I knew all of the nuances about it. I just know this. It takes your faith and it takes the power of the Holy Spirit alive in this moment, right now. It's kind of like a weird sales pitch that the Spirit of God gives us. Whenever we come together in God's name, He says in that moment, strike while the iron's hot. Respond while you have an opportunity to respond. Say yes to my Spirit as my Spirit is calling you. Don't put it off. You have only a moment sometimes to say yes, Jesus. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. This moment, just as quick as that snap goes, this is all we have this moment. And so what do we do in that reality? We do what any smart person would do. We exercise our faith and we say, well, in light of that, Holy Spirit, make me new. In light of that this is my only moment that I'm guaranteed with your presence, I say, make me new then. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know that in this moment, I have a chance to be recharged and remade. So remake me. God, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know how it will affect my kids, my wife, myself, or the job, or the economy, or any of that. I don't know anything of that, but I do have this moment in which I have an opportunity to say, Holy Spirit, wash, renew, rebirth in me. I want to give you a caution. Many of us make a mistake right now. We say, okay, Holy Spirit, I do want that. But I want you to do that tomorrow when it's just you and me in our quiet time. Because I don't want it to come across like I'm, you know, just following you because everyone does. I want it to mean something, Holy Spirit. I want you to get my attention while it's just me in my quiet place. You're not guaranteed that. And putting it off is still just putting it off. And God's Spirit says, do not put off this moment. So what I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to bear your soul to the Lord right now. And I'm asking you to be very real and honest with both yourself and with your petition of God. Because right now, if the Lord spoke to me, I believe it's because someone in this place, it's probably you. You probably know it because your heart's burning within you. I need to be remade. I need strength and I've been running on empty. Now is your time to be refilled. And so in just a couple seconds, I'm going to ask you to do what everyone has done at some point in their life. You're going to respond to a call. And you're going to come down to this altar space here, or you're going to find a space right there at your chair, and you're going to turn to your knees, and you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do what we just read out of Titus 3:4. He's going to renew you this morning. He's going to renew you. He's going to renew you and give you strength. You will be able to stand. You'll be able to stand upright and be established, and your joy will become more full by the power of the Holy Spirit than you've ever understood before. God's going to do something new in your heart. And not just that, but I know that if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, that's what you need to do right now. You just turn and you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you say that you will not live according to your own ways, but you're going to make Jesus the Lord of your life. He purchased it by His blood, didn't He? So now live it for Him. Your life is no longer your own. It's going to be Jesus's. And He's going to reward you with life eternal. And He's going to reward you with joy right now in this life. So here's your chance. If you want that, if you want that renewal, and if you believe that this is a setup of God for you to be renewed, whatever that might mean, then I want you to stand with me this morning. If you know you need to be renewed, stand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father God. Oh, before we come down to this altar, I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome right now in this place. Come like a mighty wind and blow through our hearts and our minds and renew like only you can do. Praise you, Jesus. I want to ask you something. Just settle this in your heart right now. Do you believe that in this moment the Holy Spirit can do something in you that only God can do, that only Jesus could do? The Holy Spirit can renew you. If you believe that, then I want you to come down to this altar and I want you to find a spot right now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us become, right now.
God is what our hearts long to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Oh, we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. By that snow, Jesus.
And praise, because we know right now you've not only set people free, but you've saved their souls, and they are on a new path right now. We've been born again. Lord, I thank you for strength today, right now. I thank you for healing in our bodies. I thank you for healing in people's minds and renewal. I thank you for a healing in people's homes, that the hyssop of the Holy Spirit has healed a home. I thank you, Jesus, that only you can do that. And we give you praise. Praise you, Father God. Oh, praise you, Father God. Well, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is alive and active. And in this moment, God has redone things and remade things. And it is something to celebrate. God is so good, isn't he? Take your time, spend as much time as you want at the altar, just loving on the Lord and loving on each other. But there is pasta for everyone if you so want it. And if you need any prayer specifically, please come and pray with me and talk with me or one of the altar workers. You're dismissed this morning. You have a great Sunday.
Is the name another same?